Welcome to the Starsology Astrology Podcast. I'm Alison Price, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Arwen O'Neill.
Hello, Alison.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for inviting me.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about Beltane.
Yeah.
And specifically the chart for Beltane 2024. Yeah. We'll be having a close look at that and just going through some of the symbolism of this time.
Sounds great.
So Beltane is one of the eight pagan festivals. It's the midpoint between the vernal equinox and the summer solstice. Mm-hmm. So it falls exactly in the middle.
Yeah.
And astrologically, that means that it actually occurs when the sun gets to 15 Taurus.
Yeah.
So that is the exact midpoint.
Yeah. So it is traditionally held on May 1st, or the midpoint between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. So as you say, there's an astrological reason why it's not always on May 1st, but that is kind of, it's traditionally that May Day celebration.
That's right. Yeah. So for us astrologers, and if we want to be picky, and why wouldn't we be, we're all Virgos here, it's actually this year, it's going to be on May the 4th, which I always thought was May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, totally.
Say no more. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
So, but in general, it's actually celebrated on the 1st of May, and this is known as May Day.
Yeah, May
Day. Now, when I was a kid back in the day, in the village in which I lived in England, we had a maypole.
Yeah.
And kids were like, and there was all these ribbons off it.
Yeah.
And we got the opportunity to weave the maypole, and you would weave in and out with the dance, and the girls would go one way and the boys would go the other, and it was just what one did.
Here's the funny thing, and this podcast will have gone out before or after this, but this spring, since I do these burlesque shows twice a year, I do like one in spring and one in the fall, and usually the fall one is kind of a Halloween theme. It's kind of, you know, it's called the Dreadful Delights, and the spring one is called the Garden of Delights, and it's more of like the spring festival and the Bacchanalian, blah blah blah. Last year we were nature nymphs, and this year we are sunbeams, and we dance around a maypole, and it's going to be this drag performer in a sun costume, and we're literally the sunbeams dancing around the maypole. So
fantastic. When is this happening?
April 20th.
So. April 20th, 2024.
Yeah.
So that would have been passed, but maybe there'll be some photos perhaps on your website that we can link to regarding that.
Indeed.
So you're participating in this maypole dance.
Exactly, yeah.
To technically celebrate May the 1st, May Day, and we're going to lean it then into
And our song is Waiting for the Sun by the Doors, which couldn't be more true for this time of year. We are just waiting for the sun. That's what we are.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is Beltane is one of those. It's one of the eighth festivals on the Wheel of the Year, and it's one of the bonfire festivals. Mm. And the idea is, as I understand it, that what they would do is the village would set a bonfire and get this thing burning, and then everyone would walk round clockwise round the for good luck. For the future.
Nice.
And they would walk around clockwise, and they would also take their cattle and make them walk around the bonfire before they then let them out into the field, because it was known as the pastoral summer, where they could let the animals onto the pastures because it was warmer.
Like, so they've been in the barns?
They've been in the barn eating hay. Now they get out to eat the green, green grass. And hopefully I can see them just lickety-split running across, kicking up their heels.
Yeah.
The sheeps and the cows and whatever else they've got on the farms.
Getting up to whatever cows and sheep get up to.
That's right. And it's the pastoral summer. So they get to, at this point, having walked around the bonfire, they then get to go into the green pasture and eat the sweet, green, fresh spring grass.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder if after eating hay all winter, if when the cows finally eat like fresh grass, if they just get like cow intoxicated, you know?
Well, this is it. This is where you get in, like when they say grass fed beef.
Yeah.
This is what they mean, as opposed to corn or hay fed beef, which we get in the winter.
Whatever god awful feed.
Whatever it is.
Fed nowadays.
So this is it. So we know in our supermarkets here, it says grass fed beef. Yeah. That's what it means. That actually we're in the field.
Yeah.
which you might just assume all cows were, but they're not anymore.
No, they are not.
And so it means something.
Yeah.
So where they get grass-fed beef in the middle of winter, I don't know, but maybe.
Yeah, that's a good question.
So the idea is that then they would actually, they want to walk clockwise, and the whole village would walk clockwise around the bonfire, and they call that diosil, which is in the line of the sun,
yeah,
as opposed to widdershins, which is anti-clockwise, and that's what the witches do.
Amazing.
So, and it's also just by the by that if you go to churches and that, and you need to always walk three times around diosil the correct way,
yeah,
because if you're walking the other way, then you're inviting dark spirits into your life. Mm-hmm. So that's widdershins, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, wow. So this village has got this bonfire going, and then as the bonfire goes down to its embers, each member of the village would take a burning log and take it back to their home, mm-hmm, and light their fire with the Beltane bonfire.
Oh, that's lovely.
So the hearth has been cleaned and is ready to be lit, yeah, and they come back in and they light the Beltane fire and hopefully keep it going as long as they can.
Or as long as they need to, because it's summer almost.
Well, yeah, it's still going to be a bit nippy in some places. And again, as a kid, I remember my mother having to go down and scrape out the grate in the morning and light the fire. We had to learn how to set the fire.
Wow.
I can't believe that we don't do that anymore, but we used to do it as kids, and
yeah,
you'd have to know how to set the fire, and that was the way of heating. So
that's so cool.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's one of the bonfire festivals, mm-hmm, which, and the others are, I'm not exactly sure, but anyway.
Yeah.
And so this is it. So there are many, many myths that go with Beltane. Mm-hmm. And I understand there is a specific goddess that we'd like to align ourselves with Beltane.
There are several goddesses, but one that I'm going to focus on, and this is just one that's kind of, I wouldn't say the myth the myth specifically is close to my heart, but the goddess is, because I have a bit of a history with this particular goddess, and I'll get into that because it's just my story, whatever.
Yeah.
But it is a Welsh goddess of spring named, and we're going to have to spell this, but it's Blodeved. And it is spelled Blodeuwedd, and it is Welsh. So, yes, I did have to look up the pronunciation on a few different sites to get, like, a consensus, which you do.
We're doing our best.
Blodeved. Blodeved.
Okay.
Anyway, she is the Welsh goddess of spring, and her name means flower face in Gaelic.
Oh, how nice.
It is lovely, yeah. Her myth is actually a little bit less lovely, which is what I like to focus on as the badass goddess person.
As the badass goddess specialist.
Exactly. Her story is not at all like sweet and lovely, but...
Let's hear it.
Okay, so she was created by the sorcerer Gwydion and his brother Math. They created her to be the wife of Lu, who is Gwydion's nephew. He was a warrior, but his mother had cursed him that he would never marry a mortal woman, because I guess his mother was just a nasty wench of some sort. And he went to his uncle, and the uncle, who was a sorcerer, made this woman for him out of blooms from the wild flowers of oak, broom, meadow sweet. And just a bunch of flowers, wild flowers. And he created this woman to serve as his wife and circumventing the curse that his mother had laid on him. So they were, happy for whatever, or at least he was. And then he went off to war, as you do as a warrior. And while he was away, Blodeved fell in love with another man, as often happens. So the two lovers then plotted to murder Lu because, of course, they wanted to be together. She tricks him into revealing how he may be killed, because, of course, he's a hero. He's a mythical hero, so he can't just be, killed with a, sword or whatever.
Right.
So there's this whole, intricate process that involves, a bathtub and a bunch of other stuff, and that's a little bit beyond the sphere of my story here, But she arranged his death, and he was struck by a spear, and he was turned into an eagle and flew away and perched in a high oak tree and waited for his uncle and was like, hey, he eventually retained his human form because Gwydion was a sorcerer and, of course, was just like, damn, let's undo this. And then as punishment for her betrayal, Blodeved was turned into an owl by the sorcerer.
Oh.
And this is one of the one of the birds that's shunned by all the other birds, like vultures,
yes,
and etc. But it's a night roaming creature. And
it's a predator, isn't
it? It's a predator, but it's condemned to roam the night alone because it doesn't hunt in packs. It doesn't, owls are solitary and feared by humans and other birds alike. So, yeah. But my reclaiming of this myth a couple of years ago,
right,
in 2018, there was this wonderful contest that I think has gone by the wayside since COVID, but the store called Reg Finery, which is they reclaim fabrics and textiles from going into the landfill, because fashion is the second most wasteful industry on the face of the earth, aside from like oil. And so what they do is they divert all these wasteful textiles and fabrics and stuff from going to landfill, because you can just donate them, or they take them from factories, whatever they have extra, and they sell them at a discount. But also they had these wonderful classes where you can learn how to make purses or clothes or whatever. And this is in Bellingham, Washington. So they posted that they had this contest where you have to get stuff out of their store. Like you have to basically, it's almost like Project Runway, where one of those contests where they would have a contest where you have to like build
like a lucky packet or something.
Yeah. You have to buy used textiles or clothing and create something on their theme. And their theme was flora and fauna. So I was like, flora and fauna, that sounds like one of the goddesses that I like to research. And so my mother was my model, and I sent her down the runway with this owl mask and this giant cloak.
Oh my goodness.
At the end of the runway, she then shed the cloak and was wearing this green floral festive crazy thing. I made all these flowers. Her husband dyed flowers using beet juice because you can't use any chemicals. There were all these little rules.
Right.
So it was super fun. And there were like, I think maybe 25 contestants. It was really cool.
Wow. Do you have some images of this?
I do. We can link to them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Would this be a video?
Is this a post on your blog perhaps even?
Indeed. I can. Yeah. I can link to that.
Wow. And what was the name of the competition again?
It was Rag Finery, and it was
Rag Finery. Yeah. I couldn't tell what you said to start.
Rag Finery, I know. Yeah, it's kind of weird. But yeah, they did a few of them, but not
super
since
interesting. COVID. Super, yeah, not since. Well, the world has changed, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So this again was bringing in that imagery of the owl into this particular.
Exactly, and the way I sort of reclaimed the myth was like, it ends with like a cautionary thing against female adultery, because that was kind of how the ancients rolled. You know, they didn't like that. They kind of shut that down. But I kind of reclaimed it where, you know, she goes into the forest and she becomes this owl who's like hated and feared by all the other birds. But then she goes into the forest and sheds all of her previous acrimony and the bad stuff, whatever. And then she regains her flower form at the end.
Oh, she comes back redone.
Yeah, exactly. She sheds her mortal coil and becomes like a flower again.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, Arwen, so let's just have a closer look at the Beltane chart for 2024.
Yeah.
So this chart, you can actually see it on the website, which is linked on the blog post link is below the podcast. However, I can give you the information here in case you want to cast it yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's for May the 4th. It's 5:13 p.m. on May the 4th, 2024. And I've set this chart on zero Aries because it's one of those Wheel of the Year charts that you don't necessarily want to have it on Placidus or whatever.
Yeah.
So interestingly, with this chart, because it's one of those solar charts where we're looking at where's the sun, because the sun is at 15 Taurus, that's why we've even cast the chart. Therefore, the sun is the most important planet here, regardless. And it's actually, because it's in Taurus at 15, and it's actually conjoined Uranus, because as we know, Uranus is going through Taurus. And that also, it was also conjoined Uranus last year and the year before. And the year before, because Uranus is going through. So what we have here is we've got the sun has got two aspects. It's conjoined Uranus, which is great. So we're, of course, bringing in all that unusual stuff and triggering Uranus again, which has been quite prominent recently because Jupiter has recently been conjoined it.
Yeah.
And it's getting quite a bit of stimulation. It's been in Taurus for probably 5 or 6 years at this stage. However, the sun there is right there conjoining it. And the only other aspect worth mentioning is that the sun is sextile to Saturn. So this is quite a type one. Saturn is, of course, is in Pisces. We've spoken about that. I can put a link below as well.
Yeah.
So this is bringing these two energies of the new, the modern, and the trendy with the more conservative together. But because it's a sextile, they're working well together. So that's really quite a great thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's probably suggesting that if you do decide to have a bonfire, it's probably going to go very, very nicely. This is a nice chart. It's not one of those difficult charts that sometimes we get. There are no oppositions because we are still in that very tight bundle that we've had for a while this year. And even though Jupiter's moving away. So the point being that with the sun in Taurus, this is now the planet of produce. As you know, it's to do with farming. And this is what we're talking about in one of these Wheel of the Year times, where, yes, it's the pastoral summer. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but the plants are coming up, the crops are starting to come through, and it's really, the place is warming up. It's really is a great time. And, you know, if we were living in a hut on a field and back in the day, 2,000 years ago, these dates would be critically important to us.
Yeah.
Totally. And I imagine that the astrologer of the village, which would probably be either you or I, would be saying, okay, this is the day we're having Beltane, set up the bonfire.
Yeah.
This is the day, this is the point where we're going from keeping the cows in the barn, we're moving things out, the thing is warming up, young maidens are kicking up their heels, and things are picking up.
Spring cleaning.
Spring cleaning, exactly.
The cows are out in the pasture eating grass and mating like crazy.
And you know, and but this year, as I say, we've got it conjoined Uranus. So Sun conjoined Uranus. So I know with Sun conjoined Uranus, there's usually self-actualization through being unique,
being
genuine, and maybe some genius coming through.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you can't be a genius, at least you can be different. You can be eccentric,
yes,
or you can be original,
be boring, right?
Oh, just be yourself. Be interesting. Be original.
Yes.
Bring a story. You know, everyone knows stories. It's one of those wonderful things about being, as we say, of a certain age or whatever. But like when you're in a room full of people and you actually have stories and you're not thinking about it. You're not like, oh, you know, now I need to tell an entertaining story. But you kind of have a story for any situation.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny because I've always liked to, I do consider myself an introvert, but I'm kind of like a, I don't know, what's the word? I also like to chat with people. And
yes.
Like a small
You've always
group.
Got something to
I
say.
I like a small group of people.
You're not short of things to say.
No, exactly. And it's funny because people will be like,
an intimate
great
group.
Story.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, thanks. And I just, this old thing, this old story.
But
everyone should have stories.
This is it. And I think when
don't
it's...
be shy, share.
And of course, when it's the sun, you've got to be true to your core self.
Because that's what's interesting. I mean, I think the days of like wanting to fit in and wanting to
be normal. Drone.
Good Lord. No one likes normal. Like, that's
no.
I mean, maybe when you're 12 and you're like worried about standing out in school. I don't even know if that's a thing anymore. The whole
be
fear
yourself.
Of like, people are going to notice me.
People
like to be entertained, you know? People like to have something interesting going on. And if you're the one who's providing that interesting story, whatever it is.
This is what you're put here for. This is why the sun is always an interesting planet to talk about, even though it's ego and all the rest of it. It's about your heart's beating. What have you got to say? What are you going to do while you're here?
Yeah.
And I think that's important. And this conjoined the Uranus for the Beltane is great because it will be, the impact will last for the 6 weeks till we get to the actual summer solstice.
Yeah.
So that's very nice, very nice position. And then the sun sextile to Saturn.
Yeah.
It's again, we love sextiles. They're your latent talents. It's because Saturn has a lot to do with rules and regulations. It may be a time where you say, well, am I holding myself back for no reason? And is it time to rewrite my personal rule book about what I do, where I go, and who my friends are? Whereas when you're younger, your parents tell you, you're playing with her, you're in by eight, and that's what you're going to wear.
Yeah.
And you know, you take these things with you all the way through, and then you're thinking, well, why am I wearing this black turtleneck? And that you need to break out.
Yeah, or you're in a relationship where there are certain rules, and then you break up, or you go to a different job, or you graduate from school, and all of a sudden the rules are different, or you have the freedom to suddenly make your own rules, and you're like, wait a minute, why have I been doing this? Oh, because
that's what we did
5 years ago, or whatever told
and
me
it
to
generally
do.
Comes from your parents, right? It really does that. You know, fish on Friday and it's chicken on Thursday and roast on Sunday and meat at every meal. All these things that we've now thrown away and we're doing really what suits us, what is correct for us as our son.
Yeah.
That's what I want to say about this.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, bad habits, talking of, it's not just traditions, but sometimes bad habits, as you say, like the you know, meat on whatever day people grow up with. I mean, let's just use food as an example. Like people grow up with habits that can be thought of as a tradition, but maybe when you kind of think about it as an adult, you're like, oh, geez, like that's not doing me any favors.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to rethink that and be like, you shouldn't be eating that or shouldn't be
autopilot
doing that
or drinking so much.
Doing something different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can, because we've got the Uranus there as well, it can be to do with your style, your fashion style, that for many years I was a beige and black lady.
Huh.
Everything was beige and black. There was nothing else.
Where's the Leo in that?
Well, this is it. And yet this recently, in the last 5 years, yes. I have broken out into, and tangerine's my new favorite.
I love tangerine.
I know. And it's something I have never, ever before worn.
I just have to call out the glasses that are on the table. Bright yellow cat eye.
Chartreuse,
fringe.
Darling. Chartreuse.
Excuse me. It is dark in here.
Yes. 2024.
Gorgeous chartreuse cat's eyeglasses, which are fierce. Absolutely.
When I saw them, I thought, well, unfortunately, this was a time I was able to purchase two pairs at the same time. So I got a pair of what I'm calling my boring old glasses. Mm. And then I got these because I went to the shelf in the store that said latest fashions. And there it was. And I thought, that's me. And even the girl serving me said to me, you know, grandma, are you sure you want those? I said, yes, I do. This is me. And when, honestly, when
how
I wear,
she?
I know, but this is the assumption one has.
Right.
And as you know, I got them and will the real Alison please stand up? Yes. So I don't know where you are on the glasses. You don't even wear glasses. So
I don't. I mean, maybe
not yet.
One day I will have to, for sure. I don't mind things being a little blurry at a certain distance. I'm like, yeah, things look nice.
This is it.
Self focus.
Anyway, you know, I wear them and I've got to put them on in public. People are saying, oh, those are nice glasses. I'm saying, 2024, babe, got to get with it, you know.
Chartreuse is the new black.
Chartreuse. And
Chartreuse is the new beige, is it?
Well, I don't know. It's very much the thing this year.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's the colour of Virgo, actually. So, yes, it is. So there you are. So I don't know. You know, we're both strong Virgo people. But,
I look hideous in yellow or chartreuse. But, you know, gold I look good in.
Yes.
And that's Leo colour, I know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, it's, let your fashion, whatever your fashion is, and your pink hair, and you're saying it, aren't you, with that as well?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's opposite on the colour wheel from chartreuse.
Yes.
I knew that.
Magenta.
Yeah. Actually, funny story. This is, I digress. I had a major digression in like at least 5 minutes. This is one of the funny things because the color wheel, if you are familiar with the color wheel, as everyone should be, in art school, the color wheel was just this thing of like, obviously the color wheel, but we don't know why. And the reason that we learn these things is like, it's the light, right? It's the spectrum of light.
Right.
And the color wheel, when you have opposites, and this is interesting for astrology because like Virgo is opposite Pisces and all these, you know, oppositions. When we learned how to, we had this big thing, it was called the Pantone, it was like this colorama paper with 500 sheets of paper, and they were like, you know, super intense, like colored paper, and we'd have to cut them into little pieces and use them for different projects and stuff. But one day we were supposed to do this assignment where we were doing opposites, right? So we're like, this is before the internet. I mean, I'm like 50. So we went to school, you know, in the 90s, and there was no internet. We couldn't like look up what's the opposite of this. We had to like, you know, think about it. And at one point we were all sitting around in our like sculpture class, because it was the sculpture class came right after design class. And we were all like, how are we going to do this? How do we figure out what's the exact opposite of each color? We're just looking at this 500 sheet thing. Like, how do you find, there's no guide to know what the exact opposite is, right? This guy is wearing a hot pink, like flaming hot pink t-shirt. And all of a sudden he goes, oh my God. And we're like, what? And he goes, look at my shirt. And he's like holding his shirt up. We look super closely, like we would each get our faces right up against his shirt. And he goes, then look at the wall. And it was a white wall, just pure white. And you look at the shirt for like, you know, several seconds. You look up at the wall is chartreuse. We're like, what? And it works for any color. If you fill your eyes with a certain color, that's it's very intense color. And if you look at the white wall right after that, it will fill in the opposite.
Okay.
Because that's how your eyes work, which is crazy.
So interesting, yeah.
It's so interesting. And it's just one of those things of like art.
Yeah.
And life, you know?
Astrology. We must do an episode about the colors of astrology. That would be super interesting.
Sure, absolutely.
We'll pencil that in.
Exactly. I love things like that, where it just kind of ties in like neuroscience and history and culture and why is this the way it is. And it's because it all kind of ties back to the brain and the body
in
a weird way.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So just going back to the fact that the sun is at 15 Taurus. So at these are called cross quarter days. We didn't actually mention that. And there are four of them.
Right.
And so when it's at 15 Taurus, it's Beltane. Then the opposite would be Scorpio, 15 Leo, and 15 Aquarius. These are all your cross quarter days.
Yeah, the fixed cross.
Yeah, fixed cross. And they're all in fixed signs. And then you've got the solstices and the equinoxes, and they are at the cardinal 0 degrees.
Yeah.
So this is how you measure it out.
What about the mutable signs?
Well, they don't, they're flexible.
You go ahead. You have your
they're
party.
Flexible.
We'll be fine.
And the point being that even though this year in 2024, the sun is there on May the 4th, it will move slightly a day or two, and then it will fix itself up on leap year. Yeah. We are in a leap year now, but it's not always going to be May the 4th. It could be May the 3rd or May the 5th. It just depends.
Yeah.
And it also depends where you are in the world. This chart is set for Vancouver, even though it's Zero Aries.
Yeah.
But if you have a birthday on May the 4th or May the 3rd, you're basically born at Beltane.
Yeah.
So this is a great thing to tap into. And you could do some exploration into the mythology of it. And there's a lot more to be said about it. The foods they cook and the little knickknacks that they make to hang on their doorways. There's so much lore goes into these traditions.
So make your own party. Build a bonfire or, paint. Flowers on your face to
a flower pit, a fire pit.
Yeah, fire pit or a flower pit, either way, or a ball pit if you're at IKEA or what have you.
Yeah. So this is it. So if your birthday is around that time, you were basically born at Beltane. It's a great thing, and of course you have to be Taurus to be this person. So it really is very interesting.
We love Taurus.
We do.
Good.
Yeah, we do.
It's a good friend to have.
Good friend to have.
My
indeed.
My best friend is a Taurus.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you may even have planets at 15 Taurus, and then this would then be triggering as the sun comes through for the Beltane.
Yeah.
It's a cycle that passes through. It happens for basically one day. It comes around every single year, but it's way to mark the year and follow the solar cycle. And this is kind of what I like about these cross-quarter days and the wheel of the year.
Absolutely. And if you were raised by, kind of hippie pagans like I was, it's probably
a lot of you.
A small, maybe a lot. I don't know. Generation X was pretty small, historically speaking, but maybe there's a little retro hippie going on, and you want to celebrate the things that are not just the traditional Hallmark holidays or the colonizer holidays.
Shout out to my
pagan brethren.
Yeah. So we won't be lighting a bonfire. I don't suppose you will either.
Probably
no.
Not,
but I could light a candle. I seem to have got myself a few candles now.
Yeah. We were on vacation last week and we did light a bonfire. Well, it's not a bonfire. It was
a fire pit.
Fire pit, yeah.
It's a way to bring people together.
It definitely was,
And if you had a handy cow, you could have walked it around the fire pit.
Exactly, yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, light your own fire.
Okay, so we've had a quick look at the Beltane chart for 2024, gone through a couple of the myths, and I urge you guys to explore it further and dig a little deeper if this kind of thing interests you.
Absolutely.
So if you found value in this episode, please do consider sharing it with anybody who would be interested. If you have any questions regarding this episode or anything else to do with astrology, you can email us at starsology@gmail.com. And our website is starsology.com. So, Arwen, thank you so much for joining us here today and sharing your badass goddess for Beltane with us. It's always entertaining.
Absolutely. And I will be posting about Lodved. So if you would like to check out mspink.net.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll put a link below the podcast and on the blog
read all
post.
About her.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And see your fabulous artwork that goes with it.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for listening. And thanks for inviting me.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together. Then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.